called happy. Man, are you happy this morning? I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy that I was able to come to church. I'm happy I got out of bed. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand, if you would, read you a few verses of Scripture, and then we can sit right back down after we pray, if you don't mind. In Genesis chapter 30, and beginning with verse 12 and 13. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. In Deuteronomy 34 and 24 and 25, verse 24 and 25, and Asher, and of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brothers. And let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And of that thy days shall, so shall thy strength be. Let's pray before you're seated. Father in heaven, thank you this morning. I ask God that you would help us, Lord, to see how you can take somebody so dysfunctional and make something great and powerful and mighty and blessed of them. Lord, we are all dysfunctional in a way. But this morning I ask God that you open up our eyes of understanding, that we can understand better what a great and a wonderful God that you really are. I thank and praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Asher, the man called happy. It has special significance, but he was born with problems. If you think you've been born with problems, he had problems. But God spoke the prophecy over him that shall be happy. The same prophecy has been spoken over all of us. Think about that. All of us. I only know of one man that they called happy that I can remember. And it was Happy Chandler, the governor of the state of Kentucky at one time. Anybody remember him? They called him Happy because he smiled a lot. I don't know what kind of governor he was, but he was a smiling governor, a happy governor. He had that name. But he's the only one that I remember of carrying the name of that. But there was that man in the Bible, and in the Hebrew, his name was Asher, but it really means happy. He was one of the 12 sons of Jacob and the head of a tribe. I know what brothers can do with a name. You've been called a nickname by your brothers or sisters? I'm sure his brothers picked on him when he would in a little bit because of something didn't go his way or whatever. And the brothers would probably say, well, here comes old Happy. You don't look so happy now. Well, my whole family called me by a nickname, and might as well tell you, because I ain't going to be the pastor much longer, and you call me that, I might not like it. Everybody called me Harg, H-A-R-G, Harg. Wasn't like Harg School either. Harg School was Harget. They called it short for Harg. Maybe they got that from me. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, that was fine. As long as they called me about mealtime, it was okay. As long as they didn't just use it as a bad word or anything like this. So Asher, the man called Happy. He was born, as I said, in a dysfunctional family. There was rivalry between the wives. Man, I tell you what, you just think having more than one wife in the home at the same time, this would definitely be dysfunctional, wouldn't you think? Asher was born into one of the most dysfunctional families that we can read about in the entire Bible. Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, but his father-in-law tricked him into marrying the sister Leah. I've often wondered about that. We're into marrying the wrong one, but it happened. I understand that they was kind of having a little party and so forth, and he wound up with the wrong person the next morning. Isn't that something? And add to the story, there was a favoritism, sibling. There was rivals there. There was deceit. There was long-standing resentment. Leah, not the favored wife, she bore children to Jacob, but Rachel, which was the favorite, couldn't conceive. So Rachel gave Jacob, her servant girl, to bear him son. Isn't this something amazing how that people think they need to help God out? We don't need to help God out. God has it all under control. So this made Rachel feel a measure of triumph. And when Leah stopped childbearing, she gave Jacob, her servant girl, to bear children that would sort of be counted as hers. So when you think about this in the scripture where Leah's servant bore Jacob a second son, and then Leah said, "Happy am I, for the women have called me happy." So she called his name Asher. Asher was a nobody special. Now think about this. He was the eighth in the list of boys. He had less stature than because that he wasn't born to Jacob's two wives, but to one of the concubines, the servants. He was the strongest, most successful, and the smartest. And he was just one of the kids. Smarter, but still he's just one of the kids. He made some very bad decisions. Has anybody in here ever made some very bad decisions in your life? I'd say if you're honest, every single one of us have. Part of life. And he made the mistake of helping brothers betray and sell Jacob into Egyptian slavery. He had to watch as his father grieved for Jacob and felt the guilt of his crime. He had to watch as his dad wept and mourned over his son that they sold into slavery. So why didn't they come clean? Why didn't they tell the truth? That's why one lie leads to another, right? So this is why we have to be so careful and cautious about not telling the truth. So the father of a blended family. When Asher grew up, he became the father of four sons and at least one daughter named Sarah. Think about this. It tells you this in Genesis 46 and 17. The Bible lists 53 grandsons of Jacob, but only one granddaughter, Sarah. She stood out in the family. Wouldn't you think she was kind of a whole bunch of thorns, right? So naturally, she'd stand out. So it's amazing about this. But then the Jewish literature tells us about Sarah was actually Asher's stepdaughter. Now listen to this. Asher married a widow and adopted her three-year-old Sarah. Three-year-old Sarah. As Asher was the father of the blended family, all that says something about Asher. Asher took in a child by adopting, and it wasn't his, it was a stepchild. But he loved her. He cared for her. And I want to tell you something. If you're a stepfather, you need to love that child just exactly like it's yours. Show it just as much as respect. And don't try to pull something that is not good. Treat it right. He or she, it doesn't matter. And then there's three blessings of God on Asher. There was mercy and judgment. I might get that other mic. Liz, there you go. Thank you, Liz. So when you think about this, and you think about the mercy of judgment when Israel left Egypt, there was 41,000 fighting men in Asher's tribe. After the 40 years in which many judgments fell upon the Israelites for disobedience, it tells us in Numbers 26 and 47, it reports that the number of the fighting men in Asher had increased to 53,000 or 22%. Only Manasseh was better, or he gained more, and he gained 38%. So four tribes shows abundant loss, large losses, of their fighting men, like Simeon, 62%, Ephraim, 19%, Naphtali, 14%, and Gad, 11%. And most of the other tribes showed slight change one way or the other. So it's believed that the tribe of Asher was more obedient and suffered less judgment and had more offsprings than other tribes. There's no price tag on God's blessings. It's worth more than any money you'll ever even dream about. Now I want you to notice Asher was anointed with oil. This is very important. This gets interesting if you just bear with me. When Moses prophesied over Asher in Deuteronomy 33 and 24, he said, "Most blessed of the sons be Asher. Let him be the favorite of his brothers, and let him dip his feet in oil." Normally, only the worthy had the luxury of using olive oil to wash or to soothe their feet. Only the wealthy. But this prophecy came true about Asher. When Joshua divided up the promised land between the 12 tribes, God gave the tribe of Asher into the land area of Galilee, where the soil was rich and the olive trees flourish. Joshua tells us about this. Even today, one of the trees in that area will still produce 15 gallons of olive oil per season. Wow, this is interesting. In addition to this, the prophecy of Moses about Asher having oil led, now I want you to notice this, led to Israel's Zion Oil and Gas Company to the extent in that area. In 2015, just a few years back, now, I want you to notice something about this. When God blesses, he blesses right on down. It doesn't matter if you're in a dysfunctional family. If God chooses you and you're chosen of God and you obey God, I'm telling you, hey, the sky is the limit for you. But back in 2015, notice this. They made crude oil and oil and gas discovered near the foot of Asher, both onshore and offshore, considered to be the billions of barrels of oil. And this is found in timesofisrael.com back in November the 20th, 2015. Now, I want you to notice how important this is because of the great blessings that came to Asher. And even in our day that we have seen, now it's amazing how Israel is so blessed. They have their own oil, they have their own crude oil, they have their own gas and all of this. And they're independent and so forth. And right now they're having such a great thing, like they're selling vegetables and fruit all over the world now. How God has blessed them. What used to be deserts is now flourishing with all kinds of food and all of this. This is how God blesses, because of the rich, fertile soil now, because it was desert and they didn't have any water. So they found out how they could irrigate and get water to some of these dry lands and all of this. And now they're producing more food and they're sending it around the world and selling it in the world market and so forth because of how God has blessed them. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. When you look at Asher and you look what a dysfunctional family he came from, when he come from a family that looked like there was no hope, looked like there was nothing there for him, he was eighth among the boys in all of this. And now God chose him, and he allowed him to be something very special. I want to tell you, folks, you may think you're not special. Boys and girls, young men and women, older men, women, just alike. You may think you're not special, but I'm telling you, God is looking down, and he watches your obedience to him. He watches you when you obey him, and he's watching you because he knows he can depend on you and count on you. So Asher made a whole lot of blunders and mistakes in all of this, but he had enough sense, like little David, he'd go back and repent, and God would forgive him in all of this. Here, when Joshua divided up the land, he gave him a real nice piece of land, rich soil and all of this, and olive trees and so forth. If they had olive trees, that was counted riches and all of this, because, hey, this olive oil was very precious. When they could have olive oil where they could wash their feet in it or wipe their feet in it, refresh their feet, and have olive oil that they could anoint their head and all of this, it was counted as royalty and so forth. Isn't that amazing how God can take things and turn it around? So when we think about how good God was, all of this is very special. So I want to tell you something, folks. You need to think that God has forgot about you. You see, there's a promise of a military strength, and then there's the ability to stand against the enemy, and then God's cities, there's two reasons for this. First, God would supply them with the iron and the brass in quantities to fortify their cities or to make them strong. Second, God promised that they would be given strength sufficient to withstand whatsoever force the enemy brought against them. Now, this is like we are, folks. If we trust God and we believe God, God is going to take care of us. He's got guardian angels posted around us. He's got guardian angels like we can't really imagine around us. Some people says, well, I believe I've got one guardian angel, and somebody else might say, I've got three or four, and somebody else says, I need a whole slew of them the way I act. Well, we all need a bunch of them, and God will dispense them just as they are needed to help us. So when you think about all these things, and here he was, that not only was he supplied with olive oil and all of this for royalty, then here he was also promised to be supplied with iron and brass in very high volume. There was a lot of iron and brass and all of this, and this was to build their cities strong and make their gates strong and all of this to where the enemy couldn't break through. Can I share something with you real quick? I want to tell you something this morning. God has all the brass and iron that he needs around you. You can't imagine what this brass and iron is available to us, because we think, well, we're just a nobody and we can't do this and we can't. Would you just quit saying, I can't, and say, I will with God's help. God will see us through. So now I want you to notice, God can and will use you and me. We come from a bad family line, you may say. We come from the wrong side of the tract. We come from the poor side. We come by if you had milk and bread, you was doing real good. Soup, beans, and cornbread. Well, I want to tell you, that's a luxury today. A lot of these people here, they're going to a fine restaurant, the first thing they order is soup, beans, and cornbread, because they don't get it at home. A lot of people has kind of lost the art of it, but I want to tell you, it'll never be lost. The art will never be lost to our family. Praise God, because I love them things. Gives the energy, right? Protein and a lot of stuff. Like Asher, we all come from a messed up bloodline. We all did. Listen to this. You see, the sin of Adam and Eve made all of us sinners and separated us from God. But like Asher, there was no way that we could escape from this generation of that we came from. I'll leave it at that. But thanks be to God, we've been born of God, grafted in Christ, and made partakers of the divine nature and made new creatures in Jesus. In Him we are restored to favor with God, made heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. All that was lost in Adam, but we regained all of this through Jesus Christ. Can we just say praise God? We had lost this, but Jesus came to make it all possible that this could take place. God showed mercy in Christ, but like Asher's tribe was spared from judgment. So we've been spared from hell by the wonderful atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Can you just say amen? So we once were enemies of God. We were separated from God. We were going the wrong direction. God made it possible to change. God filled us with His Spirit. And this is the wonderful part that I love. He is so great and so wonderful and mighty. And so as Asher was promised oil by God. Now listen to this. So God has given us the abundance of the Spirit, and oil is the symbol or a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil, isn't that something? It's amazing. So Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14, I will ask the Father and He will give you another comforter to be with you forever. See, this is a good part. He'll be with us forever. He didn't make a one-time covenant and then just throw the book away. He didn't lose the covenant somewhere, because that covenant was in His blood. That covenant made it all possible. That covenant that he shared. And now we have that right. Praise God. So let's dip our feet in the oil of the Spirit on a daily basis. That oil will heal and it'll empower us to do more than we could ever do on our own. So without this new fresh oil, our souls will grow dry and weary. So finally, I want you to notice this. God gives us victory over the devil also. Do you know that? He gives us victory over the devil. Oh, the devil's giving me fits. Yeah, he'll try anything he can. So finally, Asher received the promise of strength in warfare. And so have we. You see, the Lord Jesus said, behold, I've given to you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have power over the devil and his angels in the name of what? In the name of Jesus. I want to tell you something, folks. You may get to the point you can't say a whole lot even in praying. Did you ever feel like you were so bound down, the devil trying to smother you out or trying to kill you, and you was trying to pray and you couldn't get nothing out, and you was trying to say, and then finally you get the word of Jesus. And once you say Jesus, that devil has to flee. He can't hang around. That's the most powerful name. No other name. No other name but His name. Praise God. You can call out whoever you want to. You can call out my nickname if you want to, but it won't get you anywhere. But you can call out somebody else's name, and that won't get you. You can call mama, and it won't get you anything, or dad. But I'm telling you something, you call out the name of Jesus, you're going to get the works done. Why? Because there's power in that name. You may say, but I've come from, let me touch on this in closing. You may say, but Brother Gordon, I've come from such a dysfunctional family, I'm ashamed of my family. Well, you may be ashamed of them, but don't ever be ashamed of who you are. Can you say amen to that? You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You're a queen, or you're whoever God wants you to be. And He's going to take care of you. You see, God uses people like this. Can you imagine a man marrying the wrong wife? He had trouble. But he didn't stop because he wanted Rachel. Rachel was the one he had his eye on, and Rachel was the one that he was going to marry regardless. But that dad-in-law wanted to get rid of Leah because Leah wasn't quite as pretty. And she was the older one, and they wanted to get rid. He wanted to get rid of her. Isn't it amazing how that these fathers back in the biblical times and all, they wanted to get rid of their daughters. The daughters couldn't go out and hunt. They couldn't kill wild animals like this. Sometimes they'd put them over the herd and let them watch the sheep or something like this, or draw water out of the well and do stuff like this. But they were no great warriors. So hey, when a father had sons, oh, it made him feel strong and mighty and powerful and all of this. It was kind of like the women born or their daughters born. They wasn't as valuable as the sons. Well, I want to tell you something. They're just as valuable as the sons, because if there wasn't any daughters, there wouldn't be any more sons. But they took it lightly in all of this. I want to tell you something this morning, folks. If you have been looking down your nose at yourself, and you feel like that people's looking down on you because of your past, oh, I'm telling you something now. Don't ever let anybody put you down because of who you are. Hold your head up high. Look toward Jesus. Don't worry about what's over here on the side. Don't worry about somebody's little mouth running. That's like a little Chihuahua dog. Them little Chihuahua dogs, I'm telling you, they're noisy little critters. Like they could eat you up. All they can do is kind of snap you or something, but they act like they could eat you up. They act like they could fight a bear, and they'd probably try it. They're mean little critters sometimes. But they yak, yak, yak. That's the way the devil, he yak, yak, yaks all the time. Stand your ground. God's on your side. The altar's open this morning if you'd just like to come and give your heart to the Lord if you don't know him. I'm going to close with this illustration. There was a man named Steve Marsh of New Jersey. He was a typical American businessman. And when his old aunt died, he hoped to be to get a windfall from it, because she had no children and he was the only favorite nephew. He was called to read the will. And the lawyer read the will, and he said that Stephen Marsh was a beneficiary. He's got it. And then it read that when all the bills was paid, the rest of the money and things and the funeral was taken care of, the rest of it went to Steve. But when all the bills were paid and all this was done, he found out that there was a very few $100 left. But she willed him the Bible. This Bible and the contents inside belongs to Steve. Well, Steve thought, what in the world am I going to do with the old Bible? So he took it up in the attic, laid it up there, forgot about it. His business went broke. He went bankrupt. He lost almost all he had. Even lost his house. So he was up in the attic cleaning it out, and he saw his aunt's Bible there. He thought, well, that's the only thing I got left. I might as well read it. I might be able to get some help out of this Bible. He opened the Bible up and he started thumbing through it. And he found out that she had $500,000 put in different spots in that Bible. Had he only opened the book, he could have found out he had the money, he could have solved his business problems and all that, but no. That was the last resort, and he just took that, but well, I don't have nothing else to lose. Sometimes we feel like we don't have nothing else to lose, and we'll open the Bible, and then we find out that God has made many promises to us. So why not claim the family inheritance? There's victory in Jesus if we read the word. Amen. We need to read it, study it. He could have saved himself a whole lot of problems, but no, he didn't, because what was that old Bible? He was expecting his aunt to have millions of dollars, no doubt, and she didn't have it. She didn't have the $1 million, but she had more than he thought about this old Bible. Bibles have been very valuable over the years, and they're still very valuable, and we need to read them. When you see an older person that's passed on and you see their Bible and they have little things written in it and all of this, verses wrote down and little sayings and so forth in the Bible, you need to read that Bible. And you need to go back and see what was written in that whole Bible. My sister that was older than me, her birthday was yesterday. She's in heaven, no doubt. I have no doubt. But her husband gave me her Bible when she died. Matter of fact, I bought her that Bible when she got saved. She called one to get saved and went prayed through with her, prayed her through and all of this. She lived for the Lord several years before cancer overtook her body. But the thing about it is, and what I'm trying to get is this, I wouldn't take nothing for that Bible, because she's wrote little things in that Bible. And every once in a while, I need to get that Bible down and see some of the things that my sister Doretta wrote in that Bible. She goes through some very, very hard struggles for 2 years, and she'd write stuff down. How God had just blessed her that she could feel good another day until she died at 40 years old. But we need to open that Bible. Let's stand, would you please? When you girls get through praying, you all can go over to my left, over to the baptistry room over there. Jeff and I'll go over here to the other side. As they sing, turn those lights on up there, Mama, please. And we're going to have a baptizing. But if you need to pray, you want to pray before we go up there, we're just going to get prepared for time's sake. So the altar's open right now as they begin to play and sing.